how do you even begin to describe the mission of God? How can we even begin to wrap our minds around that? The mission of God. God, the eternal, everlasting, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent creator. This is not just a weekend idea, a good to remember every once in a while thing. This is the mission of God. It's like saying, I'm going to preach the fiery heart of all 66 books of the Bible today. Who's got 72 hours right now just to lay down the foundation? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made you and I in His image. We have this incredible capability to know God and this unfathomable capacity to make Him known to others. Generation by generation, through Scripture's pages, we watch as people made in the image of God either draw near to Him or push away from Him. We see God encircling the whole world, all peoples, with His purpose. And still, even with His divine revelation in our hands, we confuse free will with autonomy. Into a fractured world, God calls. He calls Abraham. He calls a people to be a royal priesthood for the nations. He calls to the nations. He calls to the far ends of the world through a chosen people. And if at any point you feel like saying amen, go ahead. You just pepper them as you feel. And what is absolutely beyond me is that we've had the privilege to hear His good news. Friends, we've recognized our fallen state. We've seen our need for a Savior. And into that darkness, our soul's lostness, we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, can you say you've met with Jesus? Can you at home say you've met with Jesus? How rich, how deep, how beyond comparison, how beyond words is the love of God expressed in our lives through Jesus Christ? How immense, how intimate, how transformative the power of Jesus' Holy Spirit in our lives. And into that redemption and transformation, I pray we would hear the still small voice of God saying, I am with you. Are you willing to be with me? I am on mission. Be on mission with me. So how can we begin to describe the mission of God? What images could we better use to understand what missions is? I think it goes without saying that missions has layers. As I prayed about this message, I continue to think about this idea, missions has layers. And of course, that sends my mind to thinking about things that have layers. I could say missions is like an onion. Because it has layers, and it can make you cry. I've cried when thinking of the lost. I remember in high school, before Elise and I ever met, we both had maps of the world where we would spend hours praying for the nations. In the college that we went to, there were banners in the chapel representing every unreached people group around the world. I remember praying for the nations, praying that God would raise up men, women, and families to take the good news to those unreached. Praying with tear-stained faces that their hearts would be open to the good news. Have you cried for the nations? Have you cried for the lost? The problem with this illustration is that onions only go so far. Crying for the lost without taking prayerful action is like Marie Antoinette hearing the people crying in hunger, unable to buy bread, and saying, let them eat cake. How often do we as redeemed Christians forget our responsibility to participate in the Great Commission? As if to say from our firm foundation, let them be reached. Go in peace. Keep warm and well fed. Okay, so back to the beginning. What else has layers? And don't just say parfaits. I know everybody loves a good parfait, but that's a slippery slope to donkeys and ogres. Baseballs. Baseballs have layers. Who loves baseball? Been a great season so far, hasn't it? Baseballs have three main layers. We all recognize the outer layer, the sewn leather cover. People see that and they say, that's a baseball. At times, missions has been like that. They see someone working in Africa and they say, hey, that's missions. That outer layer is so recognizable. Beneath the cover are several layers of yarn. Every once in a while, you'll see someone really connect a bat to a baseball, and bursting all the seams, we see all this yarn, white yarn, gray yarn, polycotton blend, come bursting out everywhere. We've seen that, and we're reminded that baseballs have layers. Those inner layers of the baseball are usually hidden from view, but they're there and they're integral. In missions, those different yarn and materials are there. They don't all look the same, but they're integral. Then we reach the core. The core of the baseball is cork. Cork, that thick layer of tree bark. Cork, the buoyant, impermeable bark of a unique oak tree. By now, I hope you're asking, wait, what does this have to do with missions? Good. Stick with me. Each one of these layers is interlaced with the other. So let's consider missions in the three baseball-like layers. First off, the soul of missions must be apostolic. Walter C. Kaiser says it best. Missions points to a central action. The act of being sent with a commission to carry out the will of a superior. It is God who commissions and God who sends. Friends, missions must be driven by apostolic purpose. To see the unreached reached with the gospel, to see all peoples receive the good news of Jesus Christ and decide for themselves if they will find eternal joy and everlasting purpose in his embrace. Abraham was called from his home, family, homeland, into the unknown. Please don't sing Frozen. Believing that God would bless his obedience and bless all peoples through his present life and future generations, he was sent. The voice of God commissioned him. Is our generation any different? Has God ceased to call men, women, and children to obedient submission for the sake of the nations? Where are the next 10 missionaries from Cornerstone, if not in this room right now, watching this right now? Hear the words of Jesus today. Peace with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He spoke those words to his disciples. Are we not his disciples? We must ask our Lord, where would you have me go? And then the hard part, we have to listen. I believe that Jesus is calling more men, women, and children from Cornerstone into the nations. Are you willing to be still, to listen to Jesus' gentle voice saying, peace? I know you get nervous that I'm going to call you to Africa. Peace. I know you think taking your kids to this place or that place is too dangerous. Peace. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Friends, be encouraged. As Jesus speaks peace, he is also breathing onto us his Holy Spirit, imbuing us with his divine power and authority to go into the unreached and difficult places of this world for his glory. The nations are waiting, and yes, it's not easy. It is far from easy, but it's worth it because he is worth it. He is worthy. Jesus is worthy of all the praise, of all the glory, of all the suffering, of all the pain, of all the pressing, of all the persecution. Friends, can we say with the apostle that we always carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies? For we who live are always being given over to death for Christ's sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in the mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. A baseball does not fulfill its purpose if it never leaves the glove, if it never collides with the bat. Is our missionary calling any different? The soul of missions must be apostolic, and the center of our apostolic missions must be incarnational. This is the multiple yarn layer of our missiological baseball. It's so easy to say the nations must hear the good news. Did you hear me? I just did it. It's very easy to say. It is too easy to say missions must be apostolic. Friends, missions must be incarnational. It must be present. The Apostle John reminds us that in the beginning, beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, all things made through him, and without him was nothing that was made made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, hear those words again. Let them resonate like jazz deep into your soul. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Jesus took on flesh. He became incarnate to live among us, to eat with us, to drink with us, to put his arm around us, to walk the dust roads with us, to rest in the storms of life with us. And with us, we have seen his glory. How can we reach people from a distance? How can we put cold water on the lips of the distant dying? How can we clothe the far off naked? How can we speak that Jesus is Lord into the lives of people who do not speak English? How can we expect people to experience the spiritual community of the church in isolation? How will the nations be integrated into the body of Christ unless we surrender our comforts, our homes, our languages, so that they might know Jesus as we know him? Our Congolese brother, Edward Kitoko Nsiku, challenges us well when he writes, "Many Africans feel themselves excluded from the modern world. Rapid urbanization and globalization have overturned the dependable values of their former villages and have replaced them with rampant individualism." Sound like anywhere we know. In response to this, the African church must become more than simply a place where we meet on Sundays. It must become a place where a spirit of community is reborn through extending a warm welcome to all who come. It must become a place where people can see righteousness lived out at the local level. The church should be the village for the lost. How can we do this unless our role in missions is incarnational? This is the only way we will see the prophetic words of Isaiah fulfilled. And the children of the foreigner who joins themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. And the verse we know well. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Have you ever stopped to consider the incarnational power of language? Language is the most important aspect of ethnic, is one of the most important aspects of ethnic identity. Think about that. Language is one of the most important aspects of ethnic identity. In learning other languages, we can learn how to communicate eternal, universal truth that transcends place and time, worldview, and myopia. I can easily say to you that I miss our family, the church, the people of Senegal right now in English, but it might be easier if I say, Sunyut Njabot. Namnala. In other languages, we learn how to communicate eternal, universal truth. This happens when we speak the same language. We just happen to come from different cultures in the same country. Richard Foster challenges us with these words. Whenever we are located within the all-inclusive community of God's people, we have the great privilege of seeing the Scripture through the eyes of the whole community. We can see the beauty, the beautiful variety of ways in which the Bible has inspired and instructed the family of faith across generations and traditions. How boring life would be if we only listened to our own insights. How narrow our vision would be if we limited only to our own understanding. The nations need us to be the church. Amen? They need us to be, to have a wide view on the horizon of God's mission. Beloved, we need the church to be the church. We need open ears to hear the voices of saints who don't look like us but serve the same King. I need Pastor Anidra's voice in my life because although I have lived my life as a minority member in Africa, I have never and will never be a black American woman. The experiences are not the same. I need Pastor Brian's voice because although I've spent my life as a third culture global citizen, I will never be the son of Korean immigrants. My worldview was shaped in Equatorial Guinea in the midst of people who were once chained in cannibalistic voodoo, now redeemed and transformed by Christ. I need their voice. We need their voice. Let us learn to speak each other's languages. Because this house, this place of worship, is for all peoples. The church is the village for the lost. And it is the village that the lost are searching for. How can we, and how will we find the gospel? How will they find the gospel they're searching for if we can't speak the word of truth in a language that they understand? The soul of missions must be apostolic. It must drive us to the far end of the horizon. And the center of apostolic mission must be incarnational. Wherever we are, we need to be there. And the core of our apostolic an incarnational mission must be Jesus. Preparing this message, thinking of missions in layers, there was one more image that came to mind besides onions and baseballs. You see, it's jazz. Most of the sermons I write with classical music in the background because it's calm and it's structured. That or I listen to the sounds of the rainforest because I miss home. But when I drive in Dakar, a city of ridiculous millions living in a very small space, the frenetic, crazy chaos of urban Africa, I listen to jazz. Ella Fitzgerald, Dave Brubeck, Thelonious Monk, all the great jazz ambassadors who toured the world and swept across Africa with this uniquely American sound. Like Duke Ellington, who wrote La Plus Belle Africaine. when he came to visit our adopted hometown of Dakar. Missions is layered like jazz, a life of willing improvisation, stepping in unique syncopation, created in blending new international rhythms. In jazz and missions, instruments and voices call to one another. They call for response. They call for harmony and experimentation, exploration and discovery. One particular jazz singer has been writing deeply thought-provoking, soul-inspiring, prayer-inducing music. His name is Gregory Porter. In many of his songs, I find myself led before our Lord because he's found words for my soul to sing. Hear the words from his title track on his 2016 album. I won't sing it. I'll let him do that when you go home or you're already at home pulling it up. He says, well, they gild their houses in preparation for the king. And they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. And they will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley. Take me to the lonely ones, the afflicted ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Friends, the king is coming. The king is coming. And he's saying to you and I today, I am with you. Are you willing to be with me? I am on mission. Be on mission with me. Can we take our time in this space with the King of Glory? Can we quiet our internal world and pray? Close your eyes, open your heart and ears, and let's just spend some time in prayer. Will we join our voice with our King, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and say, take me to the alley. Take me to the afflicted one. Take me to the lonely one that somehow lost their way. And let them hear me say, as I stand before them, like Christ will stand before them someday, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Friends, will you open your life to be a place where the lost find Jesus? Will you be a personal link from the local church right here to the unreached? Will you give of your time and treasure to see the nations meet with Jesus? Just spend time listening to the voice of the Lord.
There's some prayers we need to pray right now. God is so clearly speaking. And we're just going to, the prayers we need to say, we need to say, I am willing to be with you. Come on, we know in American culture we're so much about God. Are you taking care of me? What about me? This is what I want. This is my fulfillment. This is how I'm built. This is what we've got to get back to saying, God, I am with you. And we've let the world's debates and arguments and narratives make us so, we've become so fixated on them that we've forgotten that life is not about if God is with us, it's that we are with him, because he has already given his son. So as we take a moment of response, the first thing we want to do is, if you're watching online or if you're here in this building and you have never accepted Christ into your life, we want to invite you to take this moment. You're on holy ground this morning, wherever you are. This is your chance this morning to say, God, you created me, you know me, you sent your son to give his life for me, you have provided a way to forgive me and to cause me to start again. That's what we sang in the beginning. God, today, forgive me for going my own way, and I ask that you would receive me and let me follow you again. Thank you. I receive the sacrifice and the love of Jesus Christ in my life. And God, I ask your presence to come in me, to lead me so I can be with you. And if that's you this morning, you just make a decision right where you are. And then we want to invite you to, it's in us. He does it in me so that I can walk with others to glorify his name. So if you make that decision this morning, you just go to cornerstone.ag/connection, and you can just in that, just let us know. So we'll be praying with you this morning. Share it with someone close to you. And church family, if you are able this morning, and if you're not physically able, then you just do it in your heart. But I just feel like we just need to kneel before the Lord and say, God, I am with you. So again, if you're not physically able, just do it in your heart this morning. But if you are, and if you're willing to take this position of humility this morning, would you just kneel before the Lord? And would you just repent of making it all about yourself? I heard one person say this week, we've become more concerned with being right than righteous in the world we live in. We're so concerned about who's right and wrong, but we need to become righteous. We need to be following God and humbling ourselves. And so I'm just going to ask you right now, would you just kneel before the Lord? And if there's any way you recognize that you have made your relationship with the Lord about, God, do this for me, do that for me, this is what I want, and you just haven't come to the point where it's like, Lord, first and foremost, I am following you. Would you just take a moment to humble your heart and ask the Lord today, God, break all my pride, whether it's learning a language or whether it's being with people that I don't understand, whether it's on the missions field or whether it is just a humble heart to hear from brothers and sisters who are different than me, whether it's to give my life to people that I feel like they anger me so much, because they're so lost. Lord, would we remember that lost people don't see? Please have mercy on us. Take a moment and just recommit your life to following Jesus wherever he would lead. Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we just choose to follow after you, and we receive a fresh work of your Spirit in our lives to go and be with you wherever your heart is to go to the people in the alley, to go to those in the place that is against you, to love our neighbor, to be with another generation, to care for those who are lost. And we just thank you that you are meeting. And Lord, I agree. And my prayer has been the last few weeks, Lord, either in our own neighborhood or around the world, Lord, raise up the next generation of kingdom champions, people to win the lost and to love this world and to teach your truth. Lord, let it be so. Around the world and around our community, raise up sent ones called by the King. We just thank you for it. Use our family, use our children, use our grandchildren, use me. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, your calling and your seal is upon each of my brothers and sisters, both in this room, in every home and workplace. And we just thank you for this work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we prepare to finish, as the Lord releases you, I just invite you to stand. I'm going to ask one of our elders, Matt Coffin, to come. He just felt like he had a word from the Lord as we finish this time together. Brett, thank you for sharing such a powerful word. It's such an echo. Yeah, let's say thank you. Such an echo of really a season of entering into a fresh season, a fresh territory for the Lord. The Lord's working these weeks. If you're listening week after week, God's saying some very similar things about being ready to enter the new. And so one of our elders, Matt Coffin, just felt like he had a word. I'm going to let him share, and then we'll close in that word.
And I ask that you just put yourself in a posture of being this person, being in this place. And I'll start with this and then very quickly with the following. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Pause. And I want you, when you hear the word king, to insert your name, you personally, your name, Matt, Sean, Brett. And I believe this was the response I heard as Brett was sharing. Daniel's attempting to interpret the dream of a guy who's contented at home in his palace, prosperous, as all of us are. replace your name with King. Oh, King. Oh, Matt. Oh, Sean. Oh, Brett. Be pleased to accept my advice, the advice you just heard from the Lord. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. And please look at prosperity in terms of not the currency of this world, because that is short-sighted at best, as Brett has shared with you. To have the promises that kings are entitled to, even the kings have to humble themselves and realize all that's been provided to them. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar was distressed by his thoughts, which terrified him. And some of you in this room are distressed by thoughts that terrify you as you sit at home contented, as Nebuchadnezzar did. And the only one who can provide the remedy and interpretation and clarity that you're looking for is the King of Kings.
So Matt, would you just stay up here and just lift a hand over God's people? Lord, we just ask that any ways that we've been contented, any ways, Lord, we've been satisfied, any ways, dear Lord, we want to rest in what we have. Again, that word, we hear this word, to humble ourselves and, Lord, to do what is right. And to care for the oppressed, and Father, to give our lives for you. And we do so in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. God, it's been such a privilege to be together online. Thank you. Would you please fill out that connection card? Let us know how you're doing. Respond so we can connect. Everybody here, thank you for being here. We're going to have plenty of refreshments outside. You can find some shade under a tent. We encourage you, take a few moments to speak with one another and encourage one another. And let's continue to walk together. Every day this week on our Facebook, our social media, you will see a different part of our missions highlighted. So we want to encourage you every day to take a look at that. And also, we have prayer on Zoom every morning. And if you go to cornerstone.ag, you can go to that. Every morning, Monday through Friday this week, the focus of that prayer time is going to be whatever focus that part of our missions is. And so we want to encourage you, maybe at least choose one day, rearrange your morning schedule, and jump on that prayer time. Again, if you just go to cornerstone.ag, there's a link to it right there in the front, starting at 8 a.m. We encourage you to get on there and just take some time to pray. And our prayers also, that since we couldn't go on any missions trips this summer, that you would, as you're hearing ways to connect, that you would take some time to reach out to a missionary that is part of our larger Cornerstone and just encourage them through an email or a donation or a prayer in some way. So God bless you as you go. I think our ushers, if I'm not mistaken, are going to dismiss us by row. And again, once you get outside, take a few moments to stop, get a refreshment, and give someone just an encouragement this morning. God bless you as you go this morning.